You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you to our sponsors, the Wall Street Memes Casino, with over 5,000 custom games to choose from. Enjoy live dealers and in-play sports betting, from football to esports. Get a 200% sign-up bonus on your initial deposit up to $25,000. Use code IFLTV24. Deposit now by visiting Wall Street Memes Casino today. 18 plus only. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to episode 37 of Talk Smart with
Pew
and McCart. I am Andrew McCart. That is young Joe Pew over there, a tired, drained, exhausted Joe Pew. 2:30 in the morning, I believe you got out of that arena last night. Great, great show, the Frank Warren Magnificent Seven. Absolutely fantastic show, but a late one for you. And then straight into London for the West Ham game again. I don't know if you want to talk about that, because it seems like every week we talk about West Ham, it's not a good result for you. So just stick to the boxing.
Yeah, I mean, it weren't the better, it weren't the worst from West Ham today. Another bad decision, but yeah, good, good show in Birmingham. The second of this resurgence of Magnificent Seven series from Frank Warren. And yeah, you mentioned it did go on rather late. I think because you think, oh, there's only seven fights on the whole card, start it a little bit later. But unlike most cards, there's seven championship fights. There's not your four rounder, your six rounder, your eight rounder, maybe your 10 rounder, then two 12 rounders. These were all, I think, 10 and 12 rounders. You had Ezra Taylor on the pre-show section, and then you went straight into it went straight into Pierce O'Leary. Very critical of himself. First fight under the rotunda, as it was for Dennis McCann as well. But yeah, they passed their test with flying colours. Certainly Dennis McCann did against Brad Strand. And yeah, did you catch any of, first of all, Pierce and Dennis under the new Joe McNally regime?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And I like Pierce. I don't know why he was critical of himself. He was up against an undefeated guy who had a very high knockout ratio. The guy obviously came to win. He showed how tough he was after the first knockdown, because that was a clean left hook, just a blind left hook that knocked him down the first one. Showed how game he was. And then as he got up from that, Pierce was probably thinking to himself, I've got him here. But then he just fired back with right hand after right hand. So great test for Pierce for this. And listen, when you're under a new training sort of partnership or regime, whatever you want to call it, with Joe Mack and Deck up in the rotunda, you're going to take time to gel. It's all well and good to having the sparring sessions and the S&C sessions and whatnot, but being in that corner and listening to instructions and going with a game plan, that side of things takes time. And I thought it was a great, great performance from Pierce. I don't know why he was critical of himself, because like I say, great opponent last night, undefeated, and he got him out of there. Do you know what I mean? He got him out of there with a beautiful left hook. And again, Pierce showed, these are the type of fights you need to be in. The fights where it isn't just going your way and you're that confident, you can carry your hands low and you can march forward and you can showboat a little bit. You need the guys that are coming to win. And that guy came to win and Pierce done what he needed to do. As for Dennis McCann, mature. That's probably the perfect word for Dennis McCann last night. Very, very mature performance against Brad Strand. Didn't rush his work when he dropped him in the second or third round, I think it was. Mature work from him. Absolutely great performance from him. I think with Dennis, you his past fights, he does seem to get that bah, 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 the fast combinations. But I feel like that was a very, very mature performance from Dennis McCann last night, and I enjoyed it. I think that is what he needs. He needs that sort of. Oh, he said himself, he was a boy, now he's a man. And I think that in his own words, I think that's the great way to describe his performance last night. What did you make of it?
Yeah, great performance. A big disclaimer for all the fights, really. The nature of how the fight night did go forward is that I didn't get to watch all of the fights, and there were big chunks I got to miss. But, yeah, from the bits I have seen and from just the general vibe of the camp and this dude, Dennis McCann 2.0, as it was built throughout the week, yeah, really, really serious. And he's still so, so young. And I know a fight about with Liam Davis is being mentioned, but Liam Davis, wow, what a performance. A lot of whispers throughout the week, potentially an upset after what Robles done to Lee McGregor in Scotland last year. But, wow. That power, the timing, everything. Mm-hmm. He is absolutely electric. And Liam Davis, we were saying in the dressing rooms, could very, very quickly be pound for pound pushing the top 10 in the UK right now.
Listen, you're probably not far off with that one. And he obviously got that IBO strap. Now, people might argue it's not the strap, it's not a world title. But let's be honest, it's a piece of a puzzle. It's a piece of a larger puzzle, which is the four other straps. Do you know what I mean? There's guys out there like Neo Anoa'i. I know he likes belts. I remember when he done the World Boxing Super Series here in Glasgow, and I spoke to him. This was 2019, I think it was. And he said he wants them all of the belts, including the IBO, the Ring magazine. Every single belt there is, he wants. And Liam Davis has got that. It might be a small piece, but like I said, it's a piece of that big puzzle that these world champions want. And he's got it now. So, and I think for Liam Davis, having that belt, it's going to stand him in good stead because he's going to have these guys in that division, that super bantamweight division. It might not just be the guys here in the UK, but you're talking about, MJ, you're talking about Fulton, Stevie Fulton, maybe Casemiro. I don't know what Casemiro's doing. If he's hanging about there, you've obviously got Anoa'i, but Anoa'i is undisputed right now. He is the four belt holder, I believe, as well. So, goodness me, can you imagine a Liam Davis getting a shot against Anoa'i? Do you know what I mean?
Bring Anoa'i to Telford. Bring Anoa'i to Telford.
Hey, that might actually be the title for this podcast. Bring Anoa'i to Telford. But why not? Like Anoa'i, does size matter with this guy? Is featherweight too much for Anoa'i? Is it? The guys up at featherweight, you're talking big. Like, I know he's not the biggest in terms of size and height, but he probably punches like a super middleweight or a light heavyweight, anyway. So he probably could go to featherweight, but that might be his limit. But if he does want one more fight at super bantamweight, and there's a belt that he doesn't have, which he does want, I know, because like I said to you, he said that he wants all the belts, the IBO. Then why not? What is he? Yeah. How many British guys has he fought anyway? Butler, McDonald, Ryan Barnett.
I just think Anoa'i's the type of guy that will accept any challenge at the end of the day. And the way Davies is steamrolling opponents, and let's be having it right, that is what he's doing now. It could happen. It really, really could happen. I think realistically, I would like to see Davies have probably one or two more fights, but he continues to impress.
I know he's got a fight lined up, has he not, against Lewis Nery, I think it. He's got a fight lined up in May. So he's got that fight.
Is it May 6th? I think May 6th.
Yeah. So he's got a fight lined up, and that's a good fight because Nery's got I think he's one of the Mexicans that got a high knockout ratio, so it'll be a fun fight. Do you know what I mean, to watch? But like I say, come the tail end of the year, we've seen Paul Butler get his opportunity when he had one of them straps, although it was a legitimate world title that he had. But you know yourself, Joe, man, boxing's boxing. Crazy things happen in this sport every week.
Yeah, mate. Sorry, just broke up there. You've certainly seen crazier things. And as you say, once hopefully they get a little bit more business, as I said before, I would like Liam Davis to have that really experienced name, like Casemiro, maybe, not sure what he's doing, like that sort of caliber. And then you've got to unleash him, and there's no better way to do it than Inouye. We will touch on the main event, or I know it was built as kind of an equal show, but what went on last, Nathan Heaney versus Brad Paulsen, and I think this is a key example of not getting to see all the fights. I'm running in, running out, and probably at the start of the fight, I'm thinking, good start from Nathan Heaney, and then the tide definitely did turn. But where does that leave Nathan Heaney? Does he still go to the Stoke Stadium for June, which I know was being talked about? If he does go there, is it a Brad Paulsen rematch? Can you progress to higher after that performance? He was absolutely gutted. So, yeah, where do you stand on Nathan Heaney's performance last night? And more importantly, does he get that Stoke ground fight next?
Well, why not do the Brad Paulsen rematch? There's now a storyline. Do you know what I mean? He thought he won. He didn't get the nod. So there's a storyline there now to build off of. And for Nathan Heaney, like who's the big name in this middleweight division in the UK for him? Hamza Shiraz, but he's on his own path, it seems. Maybe
Liam Smith, maybe.
Liam Smith. Would Liam Smith, do you know what I mean? Liam Smith is after that big name. He's probably at that stage of his career right now, Liam Smith. Is Heaney marketable for him? Is he going to get the purse that he deserves, Liam Smith? Chris Eubank Jr., I don't see it. So who's there to build that storyline for Nathan Heaney in the UK other than Brad Paulsen, because it was a draw? So there's a storyline there. So you could build off that. You can make it bigger. You can make that fight much bigger than what it was. And it was an entertaining fight as well. So I think that's probably the rematch. I think the rematch probably could do it. But the amount of tickets he sells, he probably could do it all by himself. But if you chuck in a couple of other undercard fighters, I'm sure it can happen. I don't see why not. He's obviously a big name. What do you call his fans? Stokies? Is it Stokies?
Stokies. I'm not entirely sure. I know what they sound like. I don't know what you call them. I certainly do after the last two fights. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's nobody there in that division right now. Because that middleweight division, especially, because I spoke to Hamza Shiraz as well, that middleweight division is wide open. It's crying out for a marquee household name right now with Charlo, wherever he, I don't know what's going on there. Do you know what I mean? So that middleweight division is crying out for these world, for you to branch out, grab that winning world titles and become a household name. So I don't know. Like, yeah, I would build off that. I think Frank Warren's got, he's been in the game longer than anyone. He knows what to do in terms of building a fight and making a fight and going after these stadium fights. So I'm sure Frank will sort all this out. But let's talk about Joe Joyce then. The return after that. Listen, you could. Did you watch that fight? I know it's hard when you're at these shows because you've got to do the post-fight interviews and you've got to try and get back to watch the fights. But what did you see of Joe Joyce last night?
I saw shades of the biggest and best Joe Joyce. Mm-hmm. I think by his own admission, and if it's not his own admission, it's definitely his team's admission, he came in too heavy. He was slower than usual. And he said in my interview after, he openly took a lot more right hands than he usually takes, which is probably saying something because he's the type of guy that don't usually mind taking the big right hands. That's what the juggernaut does. But I think for momentum, for confidence, to get back into that W column, it was important to get the knockout, and he did in the end. He certainly did. A lot's been made of probably how slow Joe was and at times methodical. That's probably the reasons that I just said. But Cash Ali was making it tricky for him. He was moving around the ring a lot. He didn't engage as much as Joe would have wanted. And ultimately, I think he'd done what everyone wanted him to see, and that is knock his opponent out on the return.
Listen, when you're coming off two knockout defeats, it's understandable that you're not sort of wanting to engage, or you're wanting to, do you know what I mean, just unleash. Even though, like, I think I heard a lot of people post-fight interviews and that saying that he gets hit too much, Joe Joyce, but that he's been hit too much his whole career. Let's be honest, that's why he's called the juggernaut. He can get hit and keep coming forward, but what has them two Zhang fights taken out of him, if anything? Do you know what I mean? Has those two Zhang fights took his his sort of like best asset away from him, which a lot of people said was his chin. Who knows? But he's back in that win column. He's an exciting fighter because, like I say, he does get hit and he does have power. He does, even though he doesn't look like he's swinging with any authority, every shot just seems like a thud. Boom, boom. Just keeps on hitting. Do you know what I mean? He just keeps on swinging. And I suppose it's a good segue to talk about what's next for Joe Joyce, because obviously the leaked sparring footage with Martin Bacoli, the uproar that sort of produced over this past week leading up to fight week. I heard Joe Joyce's comments. I haven't spoke to Martin about it and the reasons as to why he done that. But I think that fight makes sense. Let's be honest. Joe Joyce wants to get back to that number one ranking. And guess who's got a number one ranking in the WBA? Bacoli. Do you know what I mean? So obviously he's got to fight the Cassius Chaney, I believe, coming up in whenever it is, April, May time. I think that fight makes sense because where else does Joe Joyce go in terms of trying to get back up that ladder?
Well, I think you got to chuck him in Dubois straight away, really, with the top. I'll put Martin Bacoli in that column as well. Probably don't think it will happen, if I'm being perfectly honest. After the fight, I said in the ideal world, who do you want? And bearing in mind, his manager, Adam Morley, did confirm to me this week in an interview that he has been in talks for the match in 5v5. He's not confirmed that he's on the card, but in talks, it has been mentioned. Mm-hmm. But the three he's saying is Joe Parker, mm-hmm, coming off the form, and nobody done what Joe done to Joe Parker. Mm-hmm. So that styles make fights, and they want to pursue that avenue. Deontay Wilder, mm-hmm, coming off the back of the defeat to Joe Parker. And that's always been a great fight. That's always been a really intriguing fight because of the chin of Joe Joyce. It may have lost a little bit of his value because he has been stopped twice now. Mm-hmm. And the third one, which probably leads on to our next subject, is Dillian White. Mm-hmm. I know they were in talks for that fight, Andy. On the night, really, in and around the first Zhang fight, Dillian White was there, if you remember rightly. And I think kind of makes sense to see where we are in, what, 2 hours' time once Dillian White's fought, and see where he's at. And then I'd like to see that fight. For me, that's the fight to make next, and that's Joe Joyce.
Listen, if you're Dillian White for Joe Joyce next. See, for me, I like the Wilder fight. Just slightly, I'm leaning towards Deontay Wilder. I just think that his comments after sort of the Joe Parker loss, saying that he wasn't 100% all there and he didn't want to detonate his right hand and he tried something different, but now he knows that he wants to detonate his right hand. So I think that going into that fight and Joe Joyce holds his feet a lot more than Joe Parker. Joe Parker's a smaller heavyweight, so he can move his feet. He moves his head a lot more. He jabs in, jabs out. Do you know what I mean? Joe Joyce holds his feet a little bit more. So for Wilder to land that right hand will be a little bit a lot easier, I believe. But again, I think with the pressure and the size of Joe Joyce, because Wilder's, what, 15, 16 stone. Joe Joyce is up at 20. Do you know what I mean? I think that will be an exciting, exciting fight. And I think that one excites me a little bit more than Dillian White and Joyce. But don't get me wrong, if it was White and Joyce, I'm still going to be buzzing for it. I'm still going to be excited. I just think the Wilder fight just slightly excites me a little bit more. I just like that fight. I think I've always liked that fight when Joe Joyce was knocking everybody out, because it was always like, can he, obviously before the Zhang fight, you're almost wanting his chin checked to see if somebody can put a dent in it. Obviously, Zhang can. Mm. I've always wanted to know if Wilder can. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah. That was always the big question, wasn't it? I'd still love that fight, just probably from a little bit of a selfish aspect. Mm. I see Joe Joyce versus Dillian White happening in the UK. Mm. I think that's about as big of a domestic fight you'll get in the UK without going over to Saudi Arabia, certainly in the heavyweight division. And I think both of their styles, none of them will go backwards. They will meet in the middle of the ring and just see who's got enough left in the tank at the end of the 12 rounds, really. And I just think that's how the fight goes. They're two very, very simple fights to break down, I think, which isn't always a bad thing because it just means entertainment for us.
Exactly. And that's why we love this sport. Let's talk about Dillian White. Obviously, he's making his return out in Castlebar, County Mayo, on the west coast of Ireland there.
Yeah.
Quite random, obviously, let's be honest. It's quite a random spot. A lot of people didn't even know he was fighting. But yes, Dillian White makes his return after what is August. I think it was August he was due to fight Anthony Joshua, but then it's now a contaminated substance found in his one of his samples. He's been cleared. That's what we hear so far. We still haven't got the whole nitty gritty of it and what's going on, but he's fighting Christian Hammer. I think Dillian White is still that name in that heavyweight division. If you're talking maybe top seven right now, top eight, you're going to have to chuck Dillian White's name in there. Do you know what I mean? And the heavyweight division is all about his characters as well. It's all what you can do in the ring, but it's always been about characters as well. The persona outside of the ring and what you bring to the press conference. And even though we might not agree with it, that's just a fact. Do you know what I mean? Muhammad Ali did it, Joe Frazier, Mike Tyson. Do you know what I mean? Everyone tightened going up to modern day greats like Tyson Fury and Joshua and all that. They've always got this persona about them. Do you know what I mean? Probably Derek Chisora as well. I mean, he's probably the one that brings the most excitement when it comes to the antics outside of the ring. So Dillian White is up there in terms of top eight or seven in that heavyweight division, even though his last fight was a loss to Tyson Fury, I believe, way back in, what, December?
No. Jermaine Franklin after that.
That's right. Yes, yes. I forgot about Jermaine Franklin. Yep, well done. So he's. I expect him to get past Christian Hammer, let's be honest. And Christian Hammer's last fight was 2 years ago against Joe Joyce, which was a knockout loss, a stoppage loss. So Dillian White gets this win under his belt. Who knows what the British... I don't think the British Boxing Board of Control have made a comment or they've released anything on Dillian White's clearing yet on his drug test. So we'll wait and see what that does. So if he beats Christian Hammer, we've talked about the Joe Joyce fight, right? But the fight that we wanted to see that was almost there was the Anthony Joshua fight last August. Now, for Anthony Joshua, I know for... Let's be honest, he wants to stay active. He wants to fight again now. I know after May 18th, which is still, 2 months away, probably whoever becomes undisputed in that fight, the IBF is going to be cleared up the quickest, I think, because that's an immediate mandatory against Hrgović. With Joshua, if that belt does become vacant, we will probably get Joshua and Hrgović for that vacant belt. But that won't be until what we're talking... What are you talking, maybe the summertime? Maybe?
Yeah, I think mid to late summer.
Yeah, so would Joshua want another fight in before then? Maybe in May himself, beginning of June himself? Maybe. If he does Dillian White make sense?
It's always going to be a big fight. It's always going to be that big fight because of the history, because of Dillian's win over of him in the amateurs. I just personally don't think AJ will fight until, if we think what's going to happen is the Hrgović fight whilst Fury and Usyk have their rematch, I just don't think he'll fight until then. I can see that happening mid-June, maybe. Well,
can I ask you
go then?
No, I was going to say, Eddie's mentioned it, right? And I think I've heard His Excellency Turki Alashieh mention it as well in terms of that even though there is a rematch clause in that undisputed fight,
yeah,
they almost 100% are certain that the winner of that fight, right, will fight Joshua. I think if they're saying, they're trying to say if Tyson Fury wins that fight, let's just say, right, let me just rephrase that. I think they said that if Tyson Fury wins that fight, I don't know about Usyk, but I think that they've said if Tyson Fury, now, so I'm going to have to go back and watch these interviews again, but if Tyson Fury wins that fight against Usyk, right, it's an immediate fight with Anthony Joshua. They won't go for the rematch. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere, and I've heard Eddie Hearn say it, that His Excellency will push for that fight after if Fury does become undisputed, and they will push for that fight with Joshua because it is probably the biggest fight in boxing right now. Do you know what I mean? Especially in the heavyweight division anyway. It's been a fight with me, you, every other boxing head has been wanting for the best part of... probably even since you've been in high school. Joe, you've been wanting to see this fight. So, yeah, it's one of them fights that I think that is going to get pushed for if Tyson Fury wins. And I think that if that's the case, we'll probably see that in the autumn time. So it still leaves that space there for Joshua to have a fight. And if it isn't Hrgović, again, I don't know why. I can see the Dillian White fight being made. I don't know why. I see that fight still being there. Do you know what I mean? Even though the Hrgović is there, I don't know. Listen, like I said to you, boxing is a crazy sport, Joe. We're going to be here next week and something's going to pop up and it's just going to throw us far in the work. So we're just waffling here on what we think would happen. But I still see that Dillian White-Joshua fight happening at some point. I don't know why I can still see it happening.
I can see it happening. I don't think it'll be this year. I think it was only August last year when he was meant to fight Joshua and everything with the adverse findings come about. The heavyweight division has moved on so much more than it usually would have done. Usually the cogs are turning at a normal pace in the heavyweight division, one or two big fights a year. But because of this introduction of the Saudi mega fights and all these big heavyweight dust-ups, the cogs have turned a lot quicker. And I think Dillian White, rightly or wrongly, probably does need to play a little bit of catch-up. So look good against Hammer tonight. Have a fight to launch you straight back into that. Straight back into that mix. Make sure you assert yourself on that Saudi Arabian scene. And then you go for a Joshua. And then you go for a big, big, mega fight. But it's all if, buts and maybes. Because they can push for the undisputed fight between AJ and Fury if Fury wins all they like. But I think there's a contract there. And if Usyk wants that rematch, which he probably will know in Usyk, if he wants to right that wrong. So contractually, we will see. But there's so many different narratives, subplots of how this heavyweight division is going to play out. But in previous years, we could sit and watch it unfold and then at the end of it, no fights happen. This, a multitude of fights will definitely happen. It's just which one we'll get.
That's what I'm saying. That's why right now, I think we're in a good era of boxing because we're talking about all these fights happening, not thinking, oh, I wish these fights would happen. Oh, I wish this fight would happen. It's almost as if they were saying, like, these can fight each other because it makes sense and they will fight each other. It's not, we're not wishing for these fights to happen. It's like they will happen. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we're in, this very, very good era now in boxing where maybe the last 10 years it's always been something getting in the way that we haven't seen these fights. But it seems like every single big name that we've wanted to see, that Mayweather-Pacquiao scenario doesn't seem to be happening anymore. It seems like right now we don't want to see that ever again happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not old enough, but when my dad's era, when my dad used to box in the army, he remembers the Four Kings. They fought each other. They fought each other again. They moved up in weight. They moved down in weight. They moved up two weight divisions just to get these big fights and make these big fights made. So, listen, let's... It keeps us in a job, Joe. And that's the main thing, right?
Yeah. It certainly does. And a certainly more positive job over the past 6 months. Anything else? Is there any other business that we need to discuss, Andrew, on this Sunday evening?
No, we've got Dalton Smith next week to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm going to just hang about, see if I can find some sort of link to watch this Dillian White return. I don't think so. We've got Dalton Smith next week. Like I say, no doubt something will happen in terms of news coming up. So we'll have something to talk about next week as well. But until then, Joe, get some sleep because you look knackered, young man. And I'll catch you next week.
I will catch you next week, mate. Stay tuned this week. Up in Sheffield, Dalton Smith, Zepeda. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be an absolute war. Cannot wait for it. You've got Terry Harper versus Sandy Ryan on the undercard and some absolute great dust-ups. I love Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a banger. So stay tuned. IFL will have it all as ever. And yeah, I'll see you next week, mate.
See you next week, son. Bye-bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.